Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are ready today for the concluding two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which is the conclusion of a long section that begins in chapter 12. And so, because we're coming to a conclusion, I think we need to at least quickly remind ourselves of what this long section is all about. The church at Corinth had asked Paul about spiritual gifts. Obviously, they were exercising spiritual gifts. In fact, in one occasion, Paul said that they seemed to be more than usual endowed with the spiritual gifts, more than most churches. So they possessed these gifts, which were given by the Holy Spirit of God. They were exercising them, but they clearly did not understand everything they should have about them. That's indicated by the fact that they even asked questions about them. If they were certain, if they were confident in their exercise of these gifts, then they wouldn't have needed to have said, "No, Paul, we need some clarification here." So the very fact that they asked the question, and that Paul took three chapters to answer it, tells us that, yes, they were exercising spiritual gifts, but no, they were not exercising them properly in every case. Maybe not exercising them properly in any case. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I think they may have been exercising them properly in some cases. But I think it's pretty clear that there was a lot of abuse and a great deal of correction was needed. And that, of course, is the purpose for these three chapters. I pause to welcome you to this Monday, May 23 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And I also must remind you that we can only continue as radio listeners like you help us with the financial cost. So in chapter 12, Paul goes into the subject of spiritual gifts in a broad general manner, in which he talks about the different members of the body, meaning individual Christians, each Christian being a member of the one body of Christ, and how that the body is made up of different members with different functions. And his primary point there is that every member is needed, every gift is needed, but not everybody has the same gifts. And in that particular chapter, he lists spiritual gifts a number of times, gives us various lists, at least twice and maybe three times in that chapter, so that we can understand what he's talking about. And the idea there is upon the multiplicity of gifts and the variety of gifts. Now, that's not all that's said in chapter 12, but that's a quick summary of what you find there. That, however, is followed by chapter 13, which is well known to most Christians as that great chapter on love. And though it is in many ways a standalone section, and what I mean by that is you can take chapter 13 and study it on its own without any reference to what goes before or after and still get a great deal out of it. And some texts are like that, this text being a whole chapter long, but sometimes even an isolated verses like that. You can take it from its context and look at it in isolation and derive benefit from it and even understand it pretty accurately. And then there are other texts that you can't do that with. There are texts that if you loosen them from their context, you are going to totally misunderstand them, and that often happens. But in this case, 1 Corinthians 13 is a wonderful chapter on love, but it needs to be connected to what goes before and after, but particularly before, because there is a connection. And Paul says, I want you, in the end of chapter 12, I want you to desire spiritual gifts, but I show you a more excellent way. And that takes you into chapter 13, where he basically says, look, folks, if you are exercising spiritual gifts without love, you are just a noisy, clanging gong. You are not accomplishing anything good. It's not just the exercise of the spiritual gifts that is important, but it is the proper exercise of the spiritual gifts that is important. It is the exercise of spiritual gifts with the proper motives, namely the overarching motive of love, that is all important. And you may have gifts in abundance, speaking now about the church as a whole with all of its many gifts, and that church was well endowed with the gifts, and you may have gifts in abundance, but if you're not exercising them properly, you're not following the instructions that have been given to you, and above all else, if you're not exercising them in love, then you are making more problems than you are addressing. You're not accomplishing anything good by misusing spiritual gifts. And therefore, following chapter 13, we come into chapter 14, the one we're concluding today, where Paul focuses primarily on the gift of tongues, because that seems to be the one that was the biggest problem. That seems to be the one that was the most misused. That seems to be the one that nearly everybody coveted. They all wanted to exercise it. And Paul said, look, folks, there are all kinds of problems with tongues, and tongues is not the most important gift. It's not the most valuable gift at all. Prophecy is the most valuable gift, not tongues. And he keeps making that comparison throughout the chapter. And then when he gets to the end of the chapter, we're not quite there yet, but we have already looked at some of the almost concluding verses. He gets into that really controversial section about the role of women in the church, highly rejected and misunderstood and just basically ignored. And so he comes back to say at the end of issuing those instructions that, folks, this is the word of Christ. This is not Paul speaking by himself. This is Paul speaking as the appointed and anointed spokesman of Christ. What I issue to you are the commands of Christ, not the commands of Paul. Now that brings us to the conclusion in verses 39 and 40. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Concluding verses, concluding instructions, because these are instructions. And this, therefore, really wraps up what he said in all three of these chapters. Therefore, brethren, here's my final word. Regarding spiritual gifts, which was their initial question, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So regarding spiritual gifts, prophecy is the one. If you're going to desire any particular spiritual gift, it ought to be prophecy because, as he's already shown us, it is the one that is most capable of edifying others. And this instruction, desire, prophecy is a second person plural. He's not really saying, as it sounds like he's saying to our individualistic American ears, he's not saying each individual should desire to prophesy, but what he's saying is the church as a whole should desire that God give them prophets rather than God give them tongue speakers. So he's not saying that individual Christians ought to seek to become prophets, but he's saying the church at Corinth needs to desire the gift of prophecy to be exercised more than the gift of tongues, because, as he's already shown us, that's the one that most edifies. But after saying what the church should desire is that God give you prophets, God give you lots of prophets, God give you lots of prophecy, because you remember that was the proclamation of God's revelation. That was how New Testament scripture came to churches that didn't have a New Testament because it hadn't all been written yet. But the basic doctrines and truths of the New Testament were spoken by the prophets in church services. And Paul says, that's what you need, not tongues. But having said that, he says, however, you should allow tongues. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. You should allow them, but that isn't really what you should desire. That isn't what you should like the most. It's clear that these folks were all enamored with tongues. They were all caught up with this. They all wanted to speak with tongues. They all wanted to hear tongues spoken. They really focused on that. That was showy. That was entertaining. And Paul says it isn't of much value unless it's interpreted. And even there, it's sort of a rather roundabout way to get the truth. When I have had the opportunity of speaking in another country to people whose language I did not know, and I have to speak through an interpreter, I'm always a little bit, embarrassed to have to speak to them this way. And sometimes I even say so. I apologize for this. They don't seem to mind. But it just bothers me that I can't speak to them directly. I have to speak through an interpreter. And it's cumbersome. It's not very efficient. Well, that's the way tongues are if you have an interpreter. And if you don't have one, there shouldn't be any tongues spoken in the church at all. But Paul says, don't forbid speaking in tongues. Allow them to be spoken in public worship, but only according to the instructions that I've given you. Only two or three at the most in any one church service, and then only if there is a spirit-gifted interpreter present who truly is able to understand that tongue and interpret it to others. So regarding spiritual gifts, desire prophecy, don't forbid tongues, but that's not the biggie that some people think it is. But then regarding orderly worship in verse 40 that concludes everything, let all things be done decently and in order. That's really a reiteration. He said the same thing in verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And that's another wording, another way of saying, let all things be done decently and in order. So chapter 14, as much as anything, defines orderly worship. It regulates tongues, it regulates prophecy, and it regulates gender roles in the church. That's what chapter 14 does. It regulates tongues, it regulates prophecy, and it regulates gender roles in the church. And Paul says clearly, if you consider yourself spiritual, submit to what I've said, because if you don't, you're demonstrating that you're not spiritual. This is the word of Christ. And everyone who is mature, everyone who is godly, will submit to it and will carry out these instructions in the church. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.